11 past the hour of 4 o'clock, Sounds of the Commodores with this one titled Steel.
We make the games that people play. We made our mistakes along the way.
Well, a very good afternoon to you and you and you.
Me, 'cause I needed you so desperately. We were too blind to see. But then
indeed, a Sunday afternoon when you are listening to such songs, right? Allow me to welcome you on the crossover with me, Abigail, right here on the number one, the only talk radio station in Namibia, probably the whole of SADC at this point. Allow me to welcome you on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. We will be together from this hour of four until the hour of six. Thanks to Tate Nalovanda for being in your company from the hour of one right up until this hour where I do take over and be with you. Hoping it is a great Sunday wherever you are tuning us from. It is the 12th of August. I mean October. Where the hell did I go? How did August just come on my tongue? So it is the 12th of October 2025, you know, the year seems to be rushing, to be honest. The year 2025 is rushing. It's amazing to see. It's amazing to experience. Most of the years, they really don't move as fast as 2025 is moving. So far, people are already very skeptical about 2026, how 2026 will unfold. You know, there's now things that are being shared around online where people are asking, okay, what is in 2026? What is in store for us? How is it gonna be? Because the way 2025 just rushed to 2026, it seems like there's a serious business in the year 2026. We all have to wait. Unfortunately, nobody can rush to go, you know, peep into 2026 as to what is happening over there. Come back and come inform us. Unfortunately, we all have to wait and experience 2026, all of us, right? So yeah, my birthday is in 2 days' time. I am celebrating my birthday on Tuesday. I'll be a year older. And you know what's crazy about growing older as a woman is seeing your age adding, like your age literally adding. Like, okay, I'm no more this age. I'm now this age. It's crazy. And this is why we dislike disclosing our age. In most cases, you will not find a woman disclosing her age, like here on air. I think the people who know how old I am is those ones who have met me and they have seen, you know, the ID, or maybe they know me on a personal level, so they can tell you that, no, she's born from this year, or she might be born from this year. So I don't even disclose my age on air. No. As a woman, we do not do that. So on Tuesday, it'll be my birthday. I wish it was on a Sunday so that you guys can come through and sing for me on air. You know, make me feel special. It's a special day. But I'm hoping the Sizuma crew will come through that Tuesday and, you know, wish me a lovely birthday. So since we are talking about, my birthday that is coming up on a Tuesday, allow me to also just wish happy birthday to everybody who is born today. If I'm not mistaken, my big brother is born today, the 12th of October, because we are four kids of my father born in the same month. It's in October. So I always mix up the dates. I know two of them. They are like in the beginning of October, the first week of October. And then there's the two of us who are like only 2 days apart. So today is my big brother's birthday. So happy birthday to him as well as everybody born on the 12th of October. I hope you enjoy your birthday to the fullest. Remember, it is a day that only comes once in a year. So do make sure that you make the most out of it. Don't just brush it aside and be like, it's just a birthday. Go celebrate, go enjoy. I know my birthday will also be on Tuesday. But I will try to do something. Maybe I'll just go buy myself a piece of cake, sing to myself and eat. I don't know. Maybe those around me have a plan for the special day. I don't know, but always, always try to do something extraordinary on this day you were born, on your birthday. So happy birthday to you guys. And of course, cheers to many more, right? Cheers to many more. To us Libras, we are very powerful people. We are very scary people, apparently. And, we are very unique. We are very unique indeed as Libras. So today is a great Sunday for me. And I'll tell you why it's a great Sunday for me. It's because, I went to go see my dad. Yeah. Are you listening to that? You know, that laugh, that smile behind the mic. I'm sure you can just feel my energy on the other side where you are listening from. Right. I am very happy. So my dad arrived this morning in the city. You know, he has, some work to do. And, I happened to go see him before I headed to the studio, you know, just to catch up. And he introduced me to his, colleagues. And it always amazes me how I think he is just a proud dad, and I'm always happy to witness him being proud in my presence, you know, when he's introducing me and all that. And he was like, yeah, this is my daughter. She has a PhD. She's a doctor. I'm like, woo. Whoa. No. We haven't yet gotten there, but yeah, that's the plan. That's the dream. One day to be called Dr. Abigail, but we haven't gotten there. So yeah, it is really amazing. So I'm really happy. I've seen the old man today. Hopefully I'll also see him tomorrow before he travels back to Zambezi. But it is really, really a great day today having to see him. Because I haven't seen him in a few months. The last time I saw him, I think it was in May, when I traveled to Katima for a burial. So I was lucky enough to see him for a day before I traveled back to the city. So yeah, that's my Sunday so far. Like it's really nice to have seen the man that gave birth to me, the man that named me Abigail. And okay, I'm not gonna end if I continue, but yeah, let me leave it there. But I'm happy, man. I'm really happy. I think it's going to be a great week. Hopefully it is going to be a great week, looking at the fact that it is also my birthday week and I happen to see my dad. Yeah. So great Sunday indeed. So good afternoon to you. It is 21 minutes after the hour of 4. Let's now get into the crossover officially. I was here going on about my day so far And I almost forgot, I actually have a show to present. I have a conversation to deliver to my people, right? But I'm sure you understand, you guys. I am happy. I'm excited. Yeah. So before we get to what we are talking about today, let me just remind you to subscribe to our e-paper. Yes. Called The Villager. I'm sure you have seen it somewhere. You have come across it somewhere. I am pretty sure. And you've been wondering, how do you receive a copy directly to you in the palm of your hand or in on your smart device? So it's very easy, right? And this is why I even come on air and I ask, are you subscribed to the Villager newspaper? And on the other side, if your answer is no, then I don't know, guys. But subscription is very easy. The procedure is very easy. It's not something difficult and you don't have to pay anything. So to subscribe to our e-paper, all you need to do is save this number. The number is 081-200-4144. That is the number. 081-200-4144. So what happens there is that you save the number on your device as the Villager newspaper. So it's easy for you to remember. In case you do not subscribe now when you are hearing the number, it's actually easy for you to come back to the number and subscribe. So save the number as the Villager, 081-200-4144. So our e-paper is a paper that provides, you know, summaries of business news. It provides summaries on economic news. It also provides summaries on, you know, policy development news. So if you are not subscribed, believe me, you are missing out. You are really missing out. So do make sure that you subscribe. And then you start receiving a free copy directly to you 3 times in the week. That is on Mondays, on Wednesdays, as well as on Fridays. On those 3 particular days in the week, you will receive a free copy directly to you. 4:23. Allow me to officially welcome you with a song on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. Like I've mentioned, that I'm really happy. You know, my heart is at peace. My heart is in a good space. So I hope your heart is also in a good space. You are in a good space this Sunday. And after this welcoming song, we will get into today's conversation. What are we talking about? Thereafter, you will also be allowed to come through and, you know, give your input, share your views, and so on and so forth. So here is Sounds of Whitney Houston. I will always love you. I will see you on the other side.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way, so I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And
sweet memories that
That is all I'm taking with me. So goodbye. Please don't cry. We both know I'm not what you need. And I will always love you. I will always love all you dreamed of, and I wish you joy and happiness, but above all this, I wish you love.
Always I love you. Yes. Sounds of the late Whitney Houston bringing us to 28 minutes after the hour of 4 o'clock. So we've been together for only 29 minutes to be exact. So we still have plenty of time to be in each other's company until the hour of 6 o'clock. Right? So as I was saying before the musical break or the official opening of the song, that I will come let you know on the other side what today's conversation is all about. And of course, here we go. Today on this beautiful Sunday afternoon, we are going to talk about taking care of our mind just as we do with our body. That is what we are talking about today. As we all know that the crossover is a show where we dive into timely topics that shape our lives every Sundays when we start off a new week. So I want us to go into the new week as well as moving forward, knowing the importance and why we need to take care of our mind just as we do our body, right? Because we invest so much time, you know, so much money as well as energy into our physical health. We do things like going to the gym. We do things like tracking our diet as well as scheduling annual checkups, that is with our physicians, our hospitals, or our doctors. But how often do we apply the same discipline and care to our minds? How often do we do that? If I have to ask you right now, when last did you just try to do a check-in with your mind? I don't think you will be able to answer me that question. So today, in commemoration of World Mental Health Day, which was on Friday, the 10th of October, we are going to discuss the often overlooked necessity of tending to your emotional as well as psychological well-being, just as diligently as you care for your body. So I want us, from today, when we enter the new week, we need to be mindful of taking care of our minds, just as we take care of our bodies. And we can all agree that, you know, we really spend so much time and money on our physical well-being. But if you have to compare how much time and money do we spend on our mind or our mental well-being, it's nothing, honestly. It's really nothing, and that's not a good idea. I need to give a disclaimer. I don't know why I always eat things or drink things that will make me burp on air on Sundays. I don't know. Yay, I don't know. So if I accidentally burp in your ears, I'm apologizing beforehand. Guys, colleagues, I'm apologizing beforehand. So I don't know what is the issue, but I don't know. I can't explain it. I will only remember when I'm on air and I'm burping. That's when I'll be like, why did you eat that? Or why did you drink that? So apologies in advance if you hear me burping by mistake, because I'm saying by mistake, it's going to be a mistake because there's no way I'm going to burp on air if I know that I'm about to burp, right? I'd rather switch off the mic very, very fast. So before we get into our discussion, we are going to look at the World Mental Health Day that took place on Friday, or that was commemorated on Friday. So the overall objective of World Mental Health Day is to raise awareness of mental health issues around the world and to also mobilize efforts in support of mental health. So the day particularly provides an opportunity for all stakeholders working on mental health issues to talk about their work and what more needs to be done to make mental health care a reality for people worldwide. One thing I've realized is that it's only now that, honestly speaking, a lot of us are now becoming aware of mental health issues, you know, the reality of mental health worldwide. Because a lot of us, honestly speaking, we never believed in mental health, you know, having mental problems or anything like that. I can also speak as somebody who is from Zambezi region, that in Zambezi, I don't know about now, but I know growing up, I experienced, you know, people having mental issues. And when you would ask what is wrong with that one, you would just be told, ah, it's weed. You know, ah, it's daha. You know, where in all honesty, it's not really the smoking of daha or the smoking of something. Sometimes it's just mental health issues that can lead to one, you know, becoming mad, becoming mentally unstable. So such things, it's a sign that shows that a lot of people were not aware when it comes to mental health. And days like this one, World Mental Health Day, they are there for a reason. It is an opportunity, you know, for stakeholders working on mental health issues to talk about their work and also what more needs to be done in the case of mental health care, right? So mental health in humanitarian emergencies, this was the theme for this year's World Mental Health Day. As I said before, that this day serves as a powerful reminder that there is no health without mental health. And this is something we have also mentioned in most of the conversations here on the crossover, that you can be as healthy as a fish. But mentally, if you are not healthy, then you are not healthy, right? Because you're not having diseases in the body, you're being free of any ailment in the body, but mentally you are unhealthy, mentally you are not well, that means you are not healthy. So the day serves as a powerful reminder that there is no health without mental health. So this year's campaign focused on the urgent need to support the mental health as well as psychosocial needs of people affected by humanitarian emergencies, hence the theme of mental health in humanitarian emergencies. Crises such as natural disasters, conflicts, and public health emergencies, they cause emotional distress, which with 1 in 5 individuals experiencing a mental health condition. So things like disasters, natural disasters, tsunamis, volcanoes, drought, flood, conflicts, wars, you know, public health emergencies, you know, when there's a breakout of a certain disease, of a certain virus, COVID is a perfect example of that. These things, they cause emotional distress. And with 1 in 5 individuals experiencing a mental health condition. So this is according to the World Health Organization. We have seen it with COVID. A lot of people suffered mental health conditions or mental distress during and after COVID. And to this day, a lot of people are still having, you know, the post stress or mental health distress that came from, you know, that public health emergency. So supporting the mental well-being of individuals during such crises is not just important. It saves lives, gives people the strength to cope and the space to heal and to recover and rebuild, not only as individuals, but as communities. So that's why it is essential for everyone. It is essential for everyone, including government officials, you know, health and social care providers, school staff and community groups to come together. By working hand in hand, we can ensure the most vulnerable have access to the support they need while protecting the well-being of everyone. By investing in evidence and community-based interventions, we can address immediate mental health needs, you know, foster long-term recovery and also empower people and communities to rebuild their lives and thrive. So this World Mental Health Day, this year's World Mental Health Day was meant to intensify efforts to create a world where mental health is valued, you know, protected, and it is also accessible for all, especially in the face of adversity, especially in, you know, such crises like the ones I mentioned, natural disasters, conflicts, as well as public health emergencies that cause emotional distress and can lead to mental health instability. So this day, or this year's aim is to intensify efforts in creating a world where mental health is valued. You know, mental health is protected and it is accessible to each and every person. And especially in the face of adversity, if something has to pop up now and it is going to cause a shift in people's mental health, they should be able, you know, to have access to places where they can get help for their mental health issues. So in a nutshell, that is all about World Mental Health Day that took place on Friday. And also I came through a story of a lady. So the story is about her losing her son. A son who was 1 year old who suddenly died. And this was in 2012. And then 5 days later, her husband tragically took his own life. So this is the story and this is what happened. So it's, you know, it's all of these things, they are mental health issues. And this is where our conversation also comes in to say, how often do you take care of your mind? How often do you take care of your mental well-being, compared to how you take care of your physical well-being? So we will listen to this conversation. The conversation is around about 7 minutes. And then thereafter, I will come take over and then continue with our conversation for today.
Myself, when we were together, that he chosen me really to be the one to marry. We very quickly got pregnant, had Holly, our eldest, and then went on very quickly to have Isaac. George was our third. He was just an incredible addition to the family, you know, and everyone used to say that he was the happiest little boy ever. Did we take it for granted? Probably. I think a lot of people do at that age. We just presumed life would take us on that normal journey of growing old together. I'd only been back teaching a couple of days after my maternity leave when George fell ill at home, very suddenly. So we had to call an ambulance to come out to the home. He was rushed to hospital. You never think anything bad's going to happen because this is your family. You see these things happen on TV. But sadly, George was very poorly, and within 2 hours of being admitted to the hospital, he died. 5 days later, after we lost George, probably the unimaginable really happened, something that we could never have ever been prepared for, totally unexpected, was Paul walked out of the house and took his own life. It's really difficult to explain how grief feels. Emptiness, physical pain, your heart hurts. You know, your limbs hurt, you ache. But when you lose somebody to suicide, it leaves so many questions unanswered. But I'm hoping by having increased awareness around what it is, but also the effects it has on those left behind, what causes people to walk out and never come home. Let's stand together, let's talk about it. Let's get people in the public eye talking about it. We can help each other. This really doesn't have to be what happens.
Rhianne, how are you? So nice to see you.
Oh, so nice to see you.
All this time. You did mention to come to your house a long time ago.
Did,
so I'm now here.
Well, welcome and come on in.
Thank you.
So my mum made you a cake.
Yeah, this looks very impressive.
But she also wanted you to have some of her Welsh cakes. So
yes, well, can I prioritise a Welsh cake first?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Ryan is meeting with the Prince of Wales, who is Prince Harry. Yes, to talk about, suicide prevention on World Mental Health Day that was commemorated on Friday, the 10th of October, as we listened in the beginning when she was narrating on how she suddenly lost her 1-year-old and 5 days later her husband tragically took his life. And it seems like the death of their son really hit him hard. So these are mental health issues, as we have heard that Ryan say, that it's painful, and it's pain that you can't describe. Let's continue listening.
Just grown up to be incredible kids and young adults. I look back and I still don't really know how we survived it. People ask me that a lot, like, how do you do it? And I don't really know. They were so young. The memories they've got now are memories that probably I've placed into their minds. I still worry a lot about what tomorrow is going to bring our family. But when I'm trying to be rational and trying to think positively, I just want my children to be happy.
And unfortunately, there's still a lot of stigma around suicide. Did you feel that at the time?
I was quite surprised by it. I'd never been touched by suicide. It was something that happened in the news. Mm. Nobody would talk about it or actually say what happened. Mm. And I found that really confusing at the time.
And obviously, your children were very young when this happened. Many families probably might struggle to work out, do we talk about it, do we not?
Yeah.
What's your advice on that?
I think it's important never to lie. Mm. There's ways in being truthful and just being gentle. As a parent, you know your children better than anybody else. Yeah.
From the families I've spoken to who have had to endure suicide, there's a lot of unanswered questions that live with you forever, really, don't they?
I will forever go over those last few days with him, wondering what I missed. Mm. Before we lost George, we were just so happy. And I think this just shows that it really can happen to anyone. Mm.
If you could say something or wanted to say something to Paul, what would you have said?
There's only one thing I would ever say to him if I had time with him, and that would be, why didn't you speak to me? Mm. I think I ask myself that every single day. He was absolutely devastated. He did keep blaming himself that weekend. But I would just like to sit him down like this and just say, why didn't you come to me? Because he's missed out on just so much joy, and we would have been okay. And I think that's what the hardest thing is. We would have been okay.
Hmm. Why didn't he just speak to me? Unfortunately, these are the questions we always have to remain with. As those who are left by, you know, friends, family members, colleagues who commit suicide, you keep asking yourself the same question every day. Why didn't they speak to me? Why did they not say anything? You know, unfortunately, it's mental health issues. Like I've been saying, us as the people who are living, you know, the only thing we can do is just give our opinion or how we see things or what we think. But at the end of the day, we will never understand the type of space people who commit suicide end up in. We will never understand, unfortunately. So we are going to start off discussing the importance of normalizing the mind checkup. How often do you do a mind checkup, right? I know a lot of us, it's very normal for us to take a sick day off. You know, you will take a sick day off from work or from anything because maybe you have a flu, you have a cough, or you are sick. But do you ever, you know, take a mental health day? For example, maybe you are experiencing burnout, or you can feel that mentally you are drained and there's nothing much you can do. How often do you take a mental health day? How often? Zero, right? So we need to shift the cultural perception. We need to change on how we perceive our mental health. If you can take a sick day off because you feel sick, you feel that I have flu, I have a cough, or I am just sick, my body is not feeling okay, I'm going to take a sick day off. Why don't we also usually take a mental health day when we feel we are experiencing burnout, or we are experiencing, you know, a unstable mental, I think I'm going to call it a mental shift. I don't know if this word I'm using exists in the vocabulary. We all know English is very tricky, and the excuse is it's not our mother tongue. But we still struggle with our mother tongue as well. We are not as fluent as we are in English. So yeah, so how come when you are experiencing a burnout, you don't take a mental health day off? So we need to normalize, you know, having a mind checkup. where you just sit and you check your mind. Is my mind okay? Or do I need a mental health day off, where you can actually take a day off and just try to regroup, right? Because a lot of us, we really pile so many things in our minds, so many things. So when you are even experiencing a mental distress or a burnout, you will just ignore it. And this is how we all end up, you know, having issues, health issues. Because if you are not healthy mentally, like I've mentioned, if you are not healthy mentally, it doesn't matter if you don't get malaria. It doesn't matter if you don't get flu, you don't get a cough. It does not matter at all. As long as mentally you are not well, that means you are unhealthy, right? So it is important that we do, you know, a mind checkup in terms of the physical versus mental parallel, where we all know that it is socially acceptable to take a sick day for a flu, but not a mental health day for a burnout. So we need to shift this cultural perception. And also we need to start doing preventative care for the mind. We eat well to prevent heart disease, right? You will find that people are even eating food that has low fat, or low fat spread, because food that is fat spread or is high in fat can actually contribute to somehow you developing a heart disease and all that. And then we are also even looking at what vitamins to eat. And then we also do workouts, you know. So, but now what are the vitamins and the workouts when it comes to preventing mental distress? What are you doing? Because you need to practice preventative care for your mind to be in a good mental health state. So there are things like boundaries. I've spoken about boundaries so many things. I mean, so many times on the program, that boundaries are very important. And when you put in boundaries, you should make sure that they are very bold. It's black. It's not gray, it's not blur, that people are not going to see these boundaries. Some of us, our mental state, or our minds are not in a healthy space because we don't have boundaries, to be honest. We do not have boundaries. We don't have boundaries in terms of, I'm trying to give an example that might apply to all of us, not just one or two people. Let me give an example of a boundary that could apply to each and everyone. Is time for yourself, right? So because you don't have a boundary that clearly shows or that clearly states that when you are having time for yourself, you are not going to give time to anybody or anything. And then if you don't have boundaries, you find that a friend is going to call you when they know very well that you have told them that Saturdays are for me. Saturdays are for me to take care of me and nothing else. But then they still end up calling you on a Saturday and say, oh, let's go watch a racing, you know, show. Or let's go watch soccer, let's do this, let's do this. Because maybe your boundary is not clear. It's not bold, it's not black for the person to see that, oh, Abigail actually does not do anything on Saturdays. It's either you do things with her from Friday, I mean from Sunday to Friday, or you don't do anything with her at all that week because Saturdays are for her. She spends the Saturdays on her own. So if that boundary is not clear and you keep on going back and forth, now when you're supposed to be on your own, when you're supposed to be resting, when you're supposed to be taking care of your mind, you are in katutura at single quarters. When you are supposed to be taking care of your mind, when you are supposed to be spending time with yourself, you know, de-stressing, relaxing. You are at Palki's, brying under a tree. You are even the one who's busy making sure that the fire is burning. So all of these things can lead to a mental distress, right? You find your mind not being in a good space because you are lacking boundaries. Or maybe you don't have hobbies. Hobbies are very important. There was a whole conversation here of the importance of hobbies on the crossover. And I kept on emphasizing the importance of hobbies. Have hobbies, colleagues. It's very important. It's for your own good. It helps you, you know, lead a healthy life at the end of the day. And hobbies can be anything. The good thing is that hobbies can be anything. If you like, because a hobby is something you like to do and you find happiness when you are doing it. So that can also bring, you know, your mind in a good state because you are constantly or you are always doing something that you love. And this helps to prevent mental distress, right? Also, digital detoxing. Colleagues, yay. It sounds like, you know, I am going back to previous conversations we've had. We have also had a conversation on digital detoxing. I've spoken about the importance of digital detoxing, you know, getting off the socials once in a while just to regroup yourself. You know, just to stay away from the noise, stay away from a lot of information that you are always bombarded with on a daily basis. So digital detox is also good for you in a form of preventative care for the mind because it helps to prevent mental distress. Because some of you guys, your mental distress is coming from, the social media platforms, as well as the internet, where you go and you see things that lead you, or lead you to now being under pressure because you are seeing your colleagues or you are seeing your friends living a certain lifestyle. And now you look at your lifestyle, you feel like, this lifestyle I'm living, it's not the one, it's not giving. I want the lifestyle Abigail is living. I want the lifestyle Abigail is always posting on the socials, you know. But one thing we always forget is that social media or the internet in a nutshell, what you see there, it's not always what it is, right? Because you are just seeing Abigail's life in a 30 seconds reel. Then you are concluding that, she is living the best life. That's what I want, you know. But then you don't know what really unfolds from that 30 second reel. So a lot of us, some of us, we are not in a good state of mind or we find ourselves in mental distress because of the amount of time we spend on the internet and also the type of information we are consuming on the internet. Hence why sometimes digital detoxing is actually good for preventing mental distress. Like I said, we eat well to prevent some sort of diseases, right? They will tell you stop eating salt, uncooked salt, because it can lead to blood pressure. I didn't even know that. I only, it's something that I came to learn when I was already old. Because right now I don't even know what sort of effect has salt left in my body, because I've been eating that salt all this time uncooked. I only got to learn later on that no, this iodated salt, you can't eat it like that. Just put it in food and eat. Mm-mm. It is salt that you need to put in the pot when you are cooking food, and then it also cooks. Because when it's eaten raw like that, it might lead to you having blood pressure issues. So we do eat things to prevent certain types of diseases. So now, what are we eating to prevent mental distress? What are we eating to make sure that our minds are in a good state? So these things that I've mentioned to you, boundaries, they are very important to make sure that our mental health is in check. Our mind is in check. Hobbies, very important. If you like to swim, please go swim as many times as you like, as long as it makes you happy. Believe me, that is going to prevent you being in a mental distress. And also, digital detoxing is also one of the things that we need to do here and there, you know, just to, you know, care for the mind. Because sometimes the mind is bombarded with this information you are digesting. This information you are eating day and night on the internet, which is not good for your mind. So sometimes when you digital detox, you stay away. Like for me, to be honest, it's very difficult to digital detox like January to November. Or let me just say during the time when I'm around the city. It's very, very difficult to digital detox. For me, I'm speaking for myself. I don't know about you who is listening there on the other side, how you digital detox. But I've heard other people, you know, they've told me. I know one friend of mine who sometimes deletes their WhatsApp, especially when they are having exams or they are going through something that requires their whole focus, you know, their mind to be there. They delete their WhatsApp. I also know someone, an acquaintance, I wouldn't say a friend. I also know an acquaintance who also deactivates her account when she is busy with things that requires her whole attention and she does not want, you know, these socials, to, you know, interfere or distract her. So she deactivates her social accounts, temporarily. Ooh, English. So other people can manage that. They can do that. As for me, I don't know. I usually digital detox during the holidays, you know, when I am home. That is the time I honestly digital detox because at the village, there is no electricity. There is no luxury of you constantly having your phone charged, right? Okay, at least now it's better because my cousin who doesn't stay very far now has electricity. So you can take your phone to go get charged and, you know, then you have a phone that is on. But then what I do is that I honestly don't use, you know, internet or social media. When I am at the village during holidays, I don't. If anything, that phone is just for calls or messages. Or maybe if somebody tells me, check your WhatsApp, I sent you something, or did you see this? Then I'll quickly switch on my data, check, and then see, and then off, I'm out. But you will not find me, you know, interacting in terms of posting or sharing things like I usually do throughout the year. I will not. So that's how I digital detox myself. And it's very good. It's very nice, to be honest. So yes, let's try to do preventative care for the mind by doing things that are going to avoid leading us into having mental distress or being in a bad state of mind, right? So also another thing that we are going to talk about is the body-mind connection. There is something called the body-mind connection, right? And with the body-mind connection is that they have a connection in terms of when it comes to physical symptoms. And these physical symptoms are physical symptoms of stress. It's physical symptoms of anxiety. It's physical symptoms of depression. And usually these physical symptoms that I've mentioned now, stress, anxiety, or depression, they usually come up as headaches, you know, as stomach issues, you know, is fatigue. So now, how do you, now when you are neglecting one from the other, do you ever think of the impact, what it's doing on the other? Because now we can hear that there is a body-mind connection. But then a lot of us, we don't really take care of our minds. We are just more focused on the body. I need to have a flat tummy. I need to have a nyash. You know, now this is for the women now, for the ladies. I need to have a flat tummy. You know, I need to have firm arms. I need to have a nyash. I need to have, you know, I don't know, other things. And then you now come to the gentleman, the men's, where they are like, I need to have a six pack. I need to have, you know, muscles. I need to look sharp, you know. Okay, now that is the body. But now for the mind, what do you do to make sure that the mind is also in a good state? We need to stop ignoring the fact that the mind and the body, they are connected. And this is why in most cases when you are stressed, when your mind is stressed, then your body will tell you that you have a headache. But in a nutshell, it's your mind that is experiencing stress, and then you will have a headache. Or when your mind is experiencing anxiety, you know, then your body will tell you, ah, you have stomach issues here. Your stomach is rumbling, you know. Or when your mind is telling you, you are depressed, you are going through depression here, your body will tell you, ah, you are fatigued. You are fatigued. You need to rest, you know. So we need to stop ignoring the mind and just focusing on the body. Let's take care of our minds just as much as we take care of our bodies. So if you would like to come through, you can come through. The number is 083-288-401. What is your take on this particular conversation that we are having today on the crossover, where we are talking about taking care of our mind just as we take care of our bodies? Because with our bodies, we are here, we are drinking okra water. I didn't even know why people drink okra water. I had to ask and find out, why are you guys putting okra in water and drinking? Because for those of us who know okra, okra is slimy. It's slimy. But people like me, we eat okra. You fry it very well and then you eat it with soup. So we eat okra. And then I just started seeing people, you know, carrying water bottles and there's okra and they're drinking okra. And then I asked, okay, now what is happening? Why are we now drinking okra? So apparently, it helps a lot with the body, you know, the body fluids. If you have issues like in your joints, because like the knees, let me give an example of the knees. And this is an issue I've been experiencing as well. Maybe I need to start drinking okra water. So with the knees, there's a cartridge here on your kneecaps, right? And, I believe under that cartridge, there's a certain fluid that helps with, you know, the movement of the cartridge or the kneecap. So if that fluid somehow finishes or lowers, it becomes low, you will start feeling pain. And I think that's what I've been experiencing. So maybe I need to start drinking okra water as well to, you know, supplement the knees and just have that, you know, the movement back again to normal. Yeah, so we do all these things in the name of taking care of the body, being mindful of the body, making sure the body is in a good state and all that. But we also need to start you know, considering our mind, making sure that our mind is also in a good state. Just when you are thinking about not eating something because it might lead you to having a running stomach. Also, you know what to put in your mind, know what not to put in your mind. All right. So now we move to practical mental hygiene. So when we talk about practical mental hygiene, we are talking about daily habits, right? So you can establish a mental health routine and then ask yourself this question. What are simple, non-time consuming daily practices for checking in with yourself? If you have to start checking in with yourself, trying to finding out how you are doing, how the mind is, in which space is it? What are those simple, non-time consuming practices you would do to check in with yourself? So you could do journaling just for around about 5 minutes. Write down what your thoughts are, what is in your mind. That helps a lot. Like I've mentioned, the journaling is not for me. I have tried it on my phone, rather, not like taking a book and writing down with a pen. No, it's not my thing. But when I was doing it on my phone, it really used to help, you know. When I feel like right now my mind is overloaded with things, I just write things down. I write my thoughts down and then I would feel a relief and that would help. So it could help you as well, you know, journaling. And when we are talking about journaling, it could be anything, either on your iPad, your tab, your smartphone, your laptop, wherever you feel comfortable journaling your personal things, you should do it because it is recommended as, you know, a habit that you could try to do to check in with yourself. And also a mindful walk. I used to enjoy mindful walks when I was still staying in a very small town where it's very peaceful. You can even walk when it's dark all alone. You will not experience anything, worrisome or crazy or serious. No, it's just, it's peaceful. So when I used to live in a small town back in the years, I used to do a mindful walk. Just to, you know, check in with myself, check in with my mind. I would also introspect, have conversations with myself. And I would do it at night because people are weird. Have you seen how a person will look at you if they realize you are talking to yourself? Have you seen that look, colleagues? There are a few moments where I was having conversations to myself and I hadn't realized that I'm speaking out loud here. I'm not even whispering to myself. No, if somebody has to walk past me now, they will realize that I'm talking to myself. I just saw somebody looking at me and I'm like, okay, I hope you don't think I'm crazy or I'm mad or something. I'm just having a conversation here because I need to have this conversation and I can only have this conversation with myself and I need to have it right now. So a mindful walk would actually help in this case where you need to check in with yourself. And checking in with yourself means you talking to yourself out loud. It would actually help you very much. And I used to do this, like I've mentioned, I used to enjoy it a lot. It used to relieve so much pressure from my mind. When I take a walk, when I come back from the walk, it was really a nice feeling. I stopped doing it when I moved to the big city because, yeah, I feel like I don't think it's safe for me to, you know, to be walking around because I like to walk when it's a bit dark, right? And also sometimes you just do a check-in with yourself. Are you hungry? Are you angry? Are you lonely or are you tired? And this is very important, because sometimes you are just hungry and then you start thinking that you are stressed or you are depressed when it's just hunger. Because you didn't check in with yourself to try and find out what is really going on. What is the root cause of this issue? Somebody was even telling me that a lot of people are angry in the offices because they never went to the toilet in the morning. It's very important to go in the toilet in the morning before you do anything else. Relieve yourself and then you will have a blessed day. But if you didn't relieve yourself that morning, you will just be grumpy. You will just be moody, you know. So sometimes it's not really that you are stressed or you are experiencing depression or anything like that. It's just that you are hungry. That's it. You need something to eat. Once you have eaten, you will be fine. Or maybe sometimes you are angry, and you don't know what really made you angry. So you now need to tap into yourself to try and find out, why am I angry and how do I get past this anger? Very important. Or are you lonely? So if you are lonely, what are you going to do about being lonely? Are you now going to visit a friend? Are you going to do something outdoor, you know, to get rid of the loneliness, or what now? What no? Like how they speak in Afrikaans. It's a very rough language, ne? And I think maybe this is why I've never really got the grasp of the words on my tongue. I don't know. Because my mother tongue is very, it's very easy. It's very smooth, you know, it's soft. If I have to ask, okay, what now? In Silozi, I would have to say, chwanifa, you know. But then in Afrikaans, you have to say, wat no? Huh? Wat no? Yeah, so let's try to have daily habits, you know, just to check in with ourselves. Doesn't have to be anything serious. Doesn't have to be anything time consuming. Like I've said, it can be a mere mindful walk, or just you writing down a few things just to check in with yourself. Sometimes you just need to find out if you are hungry. Are you angry? Are you lonely? Are you tired? And then what are you going to do about that? Right? Yeah. So it is 19 past the hour of 5 o'clock. Where are we on this beautiful Sunday? I would like to hear from you when it comes to also taking care of your mind the same way you take care of your body. And if you do that, how do you do it? Please share with us. I know a lot of us think that when we are taking care of our bodies physically, automatically, it also means that our minds are also taken care of. But it's not the same thing. It's not at all. You need to start taking care of your mental well-being just as you take care of your physical well-being. Very important. We will now go for a musical break. And then when we come back, we will come talk about recognizing the red flags and seeking support. That is what we are going to talk about when we come from the musical break. And here is the sounds of Miss Celine Dion on this one that is titled A New Day Has Come.
A new day. I was waiting for so long for a miracle to come. Everyone told me to be strong. Through the darkness and good times, I
tears. Let it fill my soul, let it drown my fears. Let it shatter the walls for a new sun.
Listening to The Crossover with Abigail. You are now listening to The Crossover with Abigail. are now listening to The Crossover with Abigail. Every Sunday, so from the hour of 4 to the hour of 6 on The Crossover with me, Abigail, a show where we dive into timely topics that shape our lives every Sunday when we start off a new week. Sounds of Adele on this one titled Rolling in the Deep, bringing us to 27 minutes to the hour of 6 o'clock. And of course, You are tuned to the crossover right here on the only talk radio station, Eagle FM. That is with me, Abigail, on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. Something weird happened here, and I don't want to share it on air because it's weird, actually. So before the musical break, I informed all of us that we will talk about recognizing the red flags as well as seeking support. So identifying the warning signs. How do you identify the warning signs? What are the subtle shifts that indicate a need for professional help, not just self-care? Because we are talking about you as an individual taking care of your mind, you yourself, you know, doing the self-care of your mind. So now, how do you identify the warning signs now that are indicating to you that you can't do this anymore on your own? You now need help. You now need professional help, right? So the signs could actually be persistent changes in your sleep. You will find that in most cases, when mental issues have escalated to the point where you might require professional help, you have changes in your sleep. So you don't sleep well. You struggle to sleep. All right. So this can be a sign to tell you that you actually need help here, because the issues have now become too serious. The issues now need professional help. And also another sign is changes in your appetite, especially if you are one person who never struggles with appetite. Whether you ate something, whether you didn't eat something, as long as there's something to eat, you will eat. Either in small quantities or as much as you feel like consuming, you will consume. And all of a sudden, since you started experiencing a mind shift, you are now struggling to eat. You are not eating very well. This could also be a sign that you now need professional help. And also another sign is, you know, withdrawal from loved ones. If you were a person who really enjoyed being around loved ones, visiting loved ones, and also loved ones visiting you, but all of a sudden you just withdraw. You don't visit anybody. You are nowhere to be seen with anybody. And also when people want to come visit you or to come by, you always have a reason for them not to come by. You always have an excuse for them not to come by. It could be a sign that whatever mental shift you are experiencing or whatever mental health issues you are experiencing, they are now very serious and you now require professional help. So if it gets to this point, you need to realize that this is a red flag, because it's not a normal thing that used to happen to you as a person. It's time for you to seek support. And also another warning sign is, you know, loss of enjoyment in life. I've heard stories, or I have also experienced, but I think I don't know if I have experienced a major mental health breakdown or mental health distress. I don't know. Because the thing about me is that I always want to see the positive in anything that is negative. So if something causes me mental distress, okay, I will feel it in that moment, but I will not allocate it a lot of time, that it now leads to warning signs such as I'm not sleeping or loss of appetite, you know, being withdrawn from loved ones or those around me, or now losing enjoyment life. Mm-mm. I will experience these things maybe a few days, like tops, but it will never exceed a week. Never, not at this big age where I am. So I think for me, honestly speaking, I don't allow mental shifts or, you know, mental distress to lead to warning signs like the ones we are hearing right now. But if you happen to experience a loss of enjoyment in life, like life is just not joyful anymore for you, you start questioning the reason of you being alive. What is the purpose of being alive and all that? It could be a warning sign that you now need to seek for support, either professionally or just from somebody who is close to you that you trust to be of assistance, right? So you can also overcome stigma, because mental issues always come with stigma, colleagues. Like I gave an example of where I come from back in the days. I don't know about now how they perceive mental issues. So that can also come with stigma. So how do you overcome that stigma? Why is there still shame attached to seeing, you know, a therapist or taking medication for mental health? Because a lot of people still see it as a problem when they hear that this person is going for counseling. This person has been seeing a therapist for quite some time now. They are even taking medication. You know, there are other people out there who actually see it as like, okay, really? Like, why? You know, and that is stigma. So we need to stop doing that. And if you ever find yourself on the other hand where you are being stigmatized when it comes to your mental health, well, please do not keep quiet. Fight stigma, because we as people, at the end of the day, we will always have mental issues. Whether they are short-lived, whether they are long-lived, we will experience mental issues. You cannot tell me now that you as a person, you have never, never at all in your life experienced, you know, a mental distress or a mind shift. You have, but maybe you are just stronger in a way and you dealt with it in a different manner. I don't know, but we need to stop stigmatizing people who go for counseling, people who seek psychological help, people who see therapists, people who see counselors, or people who take medication for their mental health. We need to stop stigmatizing them. So there are resources that are available, you know, resources such as hotlines. In Namibia, we have Lifeline Childline. It's a hotline where you can call and talk to somebody if you are experiencing a mental distress or a mind shift that is not good. You can actually call their number and then somebody will be available to you to listen to you and also help you and, you know, just be there for you at the end of the day. And we also have you know, counselors in Namibia. We do have counselors, who can counsel you and also just help you fight whatever it is that you need to fight mentally or in your mind. So as a community moving forward, we need to be supportive, you know. We need to be better friends. We need to be better partners. We need to be better colleagues to people who are struggling. If you realize that your friend is struggling, be a support system to them. If you realize that your partner is somehow struggling, you know, be supportive to your partner. And if you realize that your colleague is struggling somehow, be supportive, right? We need to know the right, from the wrong. ways of checking in with someone. This is very important. We need to know the right and wrong ways to check in with someone. Always, always language matters when it comes to you checking in with someone. You need to make sure that when you are checking in with someone, it does not come as you trying to reinforce stigma. Be kind. Use kind words. Sorry, the verb. Yeah, so if you realize that Abigail seems to be struggling here and I'd like to check in with her, be kind. Hi, Abigail, how are you? Are you okay? Are you fine? I've observed that you don't look fine. Are you fine? You know, be kind. A World Mental Health Day commitment. You can come up with a World Mental Health Day commitment where you commit to one sustainable mental health habits this week, right? You can go on the internet, go look for World Mental Health Day commitment and then commit to one for this week. So if you wouldn't tell a friend with a broken leg to just walk it off, why do we tell ourselves to just get over it when our mind is hurting? Those are the words I'm leaving you with. If you wouldn't tell a friend with a broken leg to just walk it off, you can clearly see that this leg is broken. Yeah. So if you can see that the leg is broken and you can't tell the person to walk it off, like, I can see the leg is broken, just continue walking. Why do you tell yourself as a person, as an individual, to just get over it when you know very well that your mind is hurting? Let's start taking care of our minds just as we take care of our bodies. 14 minutes to the hour of 6. Here is Sounds of Labyrinth as well as Emily Sunday on a song titled Beneath Your Beautiful. I will see you on the other side to come and officially say my goodbyes to you on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday afternoon.
You tell all the boys no, makes you feel good. Yeah, I know you're out of my league, but that won't scare me away. Oh no, you've carried on so long, you couldn't stop if you tried it. You've built your wall so high that no one could climb it. But I'm gonna try. Would you let me see beneath your beautiful? Would you let me see beneath your perfect? Take it off now, girl. Take it off now, girl. I wanna see inside. Would you let me see beneath your beautiful?
Show. I heard a boy say,
our love. Oh yeah.
Say it loud.
Say it loud. It is Lionel Richie, Love or Love. And before this one, Labyrinth, as well as Emily Sunday, also came through with a song titled Beneath Your Beautiful. Bringing us to 6 minutes to the hour of six. That is the time for Eagle Spot Zone with Hende until the hour of eight. From me, Abigail, this is where I say my lovely goodbyes to you. Wishing you a very productive week. Starting today, the week starts today, colleagues. Let's not engage in anything that is going to deter us from being productive. Starting tomorrow, I do not want to see complaints about Blue Monday this, Blue Monday that, because you bring it upon yourself, right? So don't engage in anything that is going to make you unproductive come tomorrow from Monday. And also let's start off the new week and moving forward as well, you know, with considering our mind. Let's take care of our minds just as we take care of our bodies. You preferring to eat a butter spread that is low fat, you know, that is you trying to take care of the physical body, right? There's a reason why you're doing that. So there are also certain things that you can start doing to take care of your mind. Like I mentioned, if you have hobbies, do your hobby or your hobbies. They are good for your mind. Set boundaries, you know. People who have boundaries in their lives, people who are respected by those around them because they have boundaries in their lives, it's people who you will hardly find having, you know, mental distress. Or a mind shift that is not good because they know where they stand and those around them also know where they stand. So set boundaries. And also sometimes maybe you are stressed or your mind is in a bad space because of the information or things you are consuming from the internet. So why not digital detox? You could do that. Digital detox once in a while. I've seen some of you cannot even stay a minute from your phone. 30 seconds of you putting your phone down, the next thing you will see is, where's my phone? Where's my phone? You cannot stay away from your phone or your smart devices. That is how hooked you are to the internet or social media platforms. And that is unhealthy for your mind. So sometimes detoxing is also the way to go. So let's start off this week and also moving forward, keeping in mind that our mind also requires the attention we give to the physical body. It also requires that. So let's not forget that. Like I've said, until next Sunday, do enjoy the rest of your week, leaving you with the sounds of the Black Eyed Peas. Where is the love?
That'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt. Lord, you turn the other cheek. Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning. Where is the love?
Change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace is so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering.